Give unto the Lord. Give because He's given us all things. Give because He calls His people to be people of generosity. Amen? There are many, many prayer requests. And tomorrow night, one prayer meeting will be at Jerry and Bonnie's, praying for summer children's ministry. So that's tomorrow night. So we have a number of prayer opportunities throughout the week to gather together and stand in prayer. But Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father God, for what You have poured into us. Lord, we could go on all day telling of the blessings that You have done, the things that You teach us day by day, because You are alive and well. And Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of giving back to You. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege and the honor it is from Your Word to be participants in the kingdom work. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that one of the marks of the believer is one who gives. And Father, we just pray, Lord, Your blessing upon this offering today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife is coming to sing a song, He Knows My Name. This is the last day. Maybe we could stretch it for another day for the baby bottles to be filled with money for the pregnancy center. But that's also on as well. Just take note of that. My PowerPoint, if you could. Bring it up. If you know this song, you can sing along about the Father knowing. Maybe my wife will give a little introduction to it.
Well, this song has a great meaning for me. Many years back, my dad died. And I first heard this song at a Billy Graham conference in Calgary. Bruce and I went to Lake Louise, and the praise team was singing this song. And it just really broke me at that time because my dad's death was fresh in my mind, and I was quite close to my dad. But I have a Heavenly Father who watches over me, so he can do much better, even though my dad was a great dad. So. I have a Maker. He formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name.
He knows my name.
My every thought,
He sees
each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. And I have a Father, and He calls me His own, and He'll no matter where I go. He knows my name.
He knows my name.
He knows my every thought.
My every
thought. Each tear that falls, He hears me when I call. And I have a Father.
matter where I go. He knows my
call. I have a father. Amen. Whether your father's physical fathers have passed away or whether they weren't there for you in the beginning, you can always say, friends, I have a father. Amen. Praise be to God. If you have your Bibles today, I would encourage you to turn to 2 Chronicles. And the 25th chapter, we're going to tell a little story about Amaziah. Amaziah, the king of Judah. Sometimes, because I forget names, and especially biblical names, we'll just call him Bob. You mind? Is there a Bob here? Okay, no Bobs. All right, because what will happen is I'll... Amaziah. Oh, I think I got it. But if I don't, I'll just say Bob. All right, so if I'm talking about Bob, it's not you or your Uncle Bob or anyone else. It's Amaziah. So chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. Also, it's the same story as found in 2 Kings 14 with a few different twists. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Sue of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with all of his heart, or not with a loyal heart. Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him that he executed the servants who had murdered his father, the king. Another story if you go to chapter 24. However, he did not execute their children, but did as written in the book of the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for their children, and the children shall not be put to death for their father, but a person shall die for their own sin. Moreover, Amaziah, a.k.a. Bob, gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds according to their fathers' houses throughout all Judah. Of Benjamin, he numbered them, from 20 years old and above, and found them to be there 300,000 choice men able to go to war who could handle a spear and sword. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel, that is the northern kingdom, for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with the Israelites, Israel. Not with any of the children of Ephraim, that is the northern 10 tribes. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help you overthrow. Then Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall I do about the 100 silver talents which I've already paid the troops of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come from the northern kingdom, from Ephraim, and told them to go back home, and they were ticked off. But they, anyways, went on. And then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, went in the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. And the children of Judah, that is to say the southern kingdom, took captive 10,000 alive, brought back them to the top of the rock and cast them down over the top of the rock. So they were all dashed in pieces. Wonderful story. And as for the soldiers of the army which Amaziah had discharged so they would not go within the battle, they raided the cities of Judah. They were ticked off, I said, on the way back. Not only did they get 100 talents of silver, but they spoiled their way back home. And there was a great slaughter. Verse 14. And what happened that Amaziah, he took back the gods of the Edomites and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amariah, and he sent out a prophet to him, saying, Why have you sought the gods of the people who could not even rescue their own people from your hands? So it was, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Have we made you the king's counselor cease? In other words, shut up. Why should you be killed? Then the prophet ceased and said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. Then you'll find the story how that after this he goes up to the king of the north, the king of Israel. It's interesting enough, whose name was also Joash, which was his father's name. And he says, I want to pick a fight. And so the king of the north, king of the north says to him, the thistle that was in Lebanon went to the cedar. This is real confusing for us English folk, but in Hebrew it sounds really wonderful. The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give your daughter to my son as a wife, and a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. Makes sense to him, maybe not to us. Indeed, you say that you have defeated the Edomites, and your heart's full, and you boast. Why don't you just go and stay at home? Why would you go looking for trouble that you would fall and your entire nation will fall with you? But he wouldn't take heed. And he went, and he got his clock cleaned. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. We pray, Father God, you would give us inspiration from the Holy Ghost. Show us, Lord God, how men can be men and be able to lead their families. Lord God, not just, Father God, in the church, but Lord, we pray that we'd be a witness to society. On this Father's Day and every day, we pray, Lord, that God, you would instruct us in the fear of God and lead us in all truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's a story, and I'm not going to take the time to go into 2 Kings chapter 14, but sufficient to say it says similar things, but in a little different way, and some of those different ways I wanted to mention to you, and so I'll bring them into the sermon this morning as I talk about this young man. A young man, Amaziah, a.k.a. Bob. I'm getting it pretty good, so I don't think I'm going to need the Bob. But just in case, it's still there. It's a backup plan. All right? And so Amaziah, here he is. And he is a new king, made king at 25 years of age. What were you doing when you were 25? Some of you aren't 25 yet. So some of you are 25, and this is what you're doing right now. But if those of us who can look back to 25, look at the influences that we had in our life. 25 is kind of an interesting time in our lives. It's a time where we're kind of out of that teenage year quite a bit. We're established. Even the insurance company, my daughter is now 25, and insurance is cheaper. Why? Because somehow at the magical age of 25, you're mature. The average is mature. Enough so that they can deduct. They figure that if you get to be 25, you're mature enough to be able to reduce your insurance rates, etc. So, you know, there are some advantages of becoming 25. So society kind of looks at that and says, you know what, you've learned enough life experience that you can be out on your own. Imagine if you were made king when you were 25. You kind of wish you had a little more life experience. Amaziah was the son of Joash, the king of Judah, and he began to reign when he was 25 years of age. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But it says in verse 3, but not as his father David had done. It says this. It says, in everything he followed the example of his father Joash. That says that in 2 Kings 14. In everything he followed the example of his father Joash. He did what was right, but he followed the example. You know, there is a scripture that I mentioned actually last week at the baby dedication, and that was, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Because it's not about teaching them, it's about training them. You see, Joash did, at least when he started out, what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed according to the rules and regulations of being a king, but it says here that the example of his father Joash was the way that he walked. It is more powerful to see something than to hear something. It's even more powerful if they say it and they do it. It's the example that young people will follow after more than just the words that they're told. And so it's important that we follow the right kind of example. He was not passionate. He was half-hearted about the ministry of being king. On this Father's Day, we have the father's example. Wake up, child. When I do this, that means this, I don't have anything to push here. You know, it's kind of cute to watch them following after the father's example, and sometimes it's just not so cute. But here's what it says. And he followed after the example of his father, Joash. Even though he was trained in the Scriptures, even though the priest trained him, even though he was obedient in some respects and lived the first part of his kingship according to the Word of God, he still followed in the example of his father. His father did the exact same thing. His father started out pretty good. His father started to do reforms in Judah, in the southern kingdom. His father seemed to obey the Word of God. But later on, his father killed the high priest, the priest of God, because his father didn't like what the priest had to say when the priest rebuked him for his sin. And his father ended up being assassinated by his own servants. You know what happened to Amaziah? He did the very same thing. He started out pretty good. He grew corrupt in the sense he got proud and boastful, and he ended up as a king that was assassinated by his own house. How often we say, I'll never be like the old man. But so often the example is something that's hard to kick unless we have other examples to follow. Thankfully, Amaziah had another example. And the next slide I just want to take to is he had two examples. He had the example of his father David. It says that he did not follow after his father David. Now, David wasn't his father. David was his grandpa. And he wasn't exactly his grandpa. He was his great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. Great. Great. Somewhere in there. David was a man that he had never met, but I tell you what, when you're a king and you're having that crown put upon your head, you represent, you stand in the lineage of all those that went before you, and King David was the first of them, and so he was the descendant of King David. David was his grandpappy, and he knew David because he knew the stories of his grandfather. He had a heritage that was given to him by his father David. He could have chosen that heritage. He could have followed in that heritage. You know, the human race is a unique creation of God. We're so dumb. I mean, we've got big heads and big brains. You know, it's a burden to you, sister, hanging on to this big thing. You know, I know it's there's lots of information that is in there that is accumulated. But we know we're not like a bird that can come out of an egg and a few weeks later fly. And a few weeks later after that, fly a couple of thousand miles. And a few months after that, fly back. And without anybody showing them, knows how to eat and knows how to build a nest and knows how to find a partner without internet. Can find a partner and somehow manage to raise kids and let them go through the cycle and push those little ones out of the nest. 1 year later, they're pushing the little kids out of the nest. We don't know anything. We have to be trained. We have to be taught. We have to have examples. And here was the example of a great man of God. The great heritage. friends, whether we have individually, we have individual situations where fathers have let us down, friends, then I say look to your godly heritage. Well, I don't have a godly heritage. Well, the church provides a godly heritage. He had a heritage that he could choose to either ignore or exemplify. David would always be an anchor of example to all of his prodigy from generation to generation. He was a man after God's own heart. Amaziah knew this. Amaziah knew his failures. Everybody knew his failures. Why? Because he was transparent with them. We have his failures in the Word of God today. Unlike the kings of other nations, that when they made mistakes, guess what they did? They'd take a guy out with a chisel, and you know what? They'd chisel their mistakes off of the record. We don't want the next generation to know about our mistakes. But David, his mistakes are written in the Word of God. He was transparent and he knew that. And he could have followed after his father, David. Some people will say, we have no real leadership today. Well, then look to the past and find someone. Find someone to be an example to you. There is wonderful, wonderful patterns of faith that can be found in those that have went before us. We sang the hymn this morning, Faith of Our Fathers, Holy Faith, We Will Be True to Thee Till Death. Did you mean that? Pretty heavy stuff in that hymn. The second verse says, Oh, we pray that their children would also have the great privilege of dying for their faith in some prison or at the stake somewhere. Did you really mean that when you said that? That our kids would have the privilege of dying for their faith? Somebody sticks their tongue out then on the playground. You're like a mama bear at the school. These are the things, these are the path. In the past, we have some wonderful examples of people who have given their lives for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second example was Father Joash. Now, every father brings some good things. Whatever might have been said about him, the way he died and the way he messed up in the last part of his life, he did a couple of things that he gave to his son. The first thing I put up there, he gave him a great name. No, fact. He gave him a great name. His name means Jehovah is mighty. Jehovah is mighty. Now, whatever, maybe it was his mom Sue, I don't know, but Joash, his dad, will give him the credit at least for giving him this name. So whenever he looked in the mirror, or whenever he heard his name, Jehovah's Mighty. Jehovah's Mighty. Jehovah's Mighty. King Joash, Jehovah's Mighty. that's a great heritage in his fact, to be named something like that, to be able to have that mark always with you, wherever you are, that Jehovah is mighty. That is a wonderful gift that his father gave him. Whatever his father may have done, and whatever failures that his father may have had, that was a wonderful gift. The other thing his father gave him was a great opportunity. At 25 years old, this guy walks into the palace and puts a crown on his head, and all of a sudden, man, this guy at 25 years old is in charge. That's a great opportunity. And the fathers that we've had before us, whether they knew the Lord or not, have worked hard so that we could have a better life than they have had. And so we have Amaziah, he's conflicted. Which example am I going to go with? Am I going to go with my great-great-great-granddaddy? Am I going to go with David? Am I going to be a man after God's own heart? Am I going to go with the last few years of my father's life? You see, those last few years of Joash's life, he didn't get to see those early years when Joash was right with the Lord. Friends, it's so important that we finish well. Amen? It's so important that we don't give up the baton halfway through. It's so important that we finish our life well, friends. Don't give up. Don't say, well, I made it to 50, now I can slide now. I made it to 60, now I can let her go now. No, friends, it's the last few years of life, the impression. He didn't get a chance to see his father in his early days. They say, my father went to church, My father did this and that. My father was baptized. I never saw any of that. He did that when he was younger, when I was a small child. I don't remember those things. And so here is what are you going to do, Amaziah? He only saw the last part. He saw a backslidden dad, a dad that kind of obeyed the Scripture, but basically did whatever he wanted. And he went with that example. He went half-hearted. The Scripture says he followed after his father's example in all things. He obeyed the law, that is to say, the Scriptures that made him do a few things, but he had no heart in it. He did it because it was expected of him. Friends, if anyone, any child, any church member lives out their life under expectation and not experience, it will not last. They will fall away. But God sent three other voices to this guy. Yeah, he had David and he had his father Joash, but he also sent three other voices. The first voice was, you'll find this in verse 7 of chapter 25, he sent him a man of God. That's the next slide. You can go there now. And this man of God came to him, and this man of God, it wasn't planned. It wasn't a man that was sent by God in the sense of a prophet. It was just he ran into this guy on his way to do battle with the Edomites. He ran into a nameless man of God. We don't have his name, which is okay. Because so many men that have had such a great influence on our nation and nations and families and lives, we don't remember them. You know, when I go to some old restaurants, I was at a restaurant the other day with my wife, and anyways, they had old pictures of Ottawa, and they had, you know, back in the Bytown lumber days, and they had them all these old guys, and I'm looking at these men of character, these men of intrigue, these men, these hardworking men. I have no idea. There was no names underneath the plaque. It was just, you know, a scene, lumber scene on the Ottawa River. Nameless men. How many nameless men are there? But because they were men of God, because they were men of integrity, we don't have plaques on the wall to remember them. We don't have things named after them. We don't have citadels or memorial churches named after them. But praise God, they left their mark because they influenced the next generation for right and good. Amen? He was anonymous. But it came at a right time. If you find this, the young king is on his way, and here comes a man of God. He gives him three interesting things, three important teachings, three important teachings that we still need today. The first one was, do not be unequally yoked. He caught the king, and he says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to war. I'm heading off with the Edomites. Why are you taking these losers? Why are you hanging with these guys? This man of God says, why are you hanging out with the wrong crowd? Oh man, is that not good advice for young people today? Is that not good advice for young people of every age? To hear a man of God say, you know, you don't need them. You don't need them. They're going to bring you down. That crowd you're hanging with, they don't love God. The Lord's not with them. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't go to war with them. Don't go side by side and make them your equals as far as the partnership of going to war. If you go to war with them, you're going to lose. Paul was a man of God, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he said to the church, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness? He was not saying, be snobby and ignore people. He was saying, listen, when you enter into partnerships like marriage, you better do it with a believer. Or it ain't going to go so good. I mean, this is wisdom of the ancients. This man of God said, you don't need to hang out with them. If you want to maintain your godliness, if you want to maintain your principles, if you want to maintain the things that you stand for, if you want to maintain the things that your daddy, granddaddy, great-granddaddy, go down to old David back there and before that to Moses, to Abraham. He says, if you're going to hang on to that heritage, you better... No. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He said, you don't need them. You don't need them bringing you down. The second thing he said is a thing that I pray men of God today. Men of God, all men here. We need to implant into the next generation, even into the generation that is equal to us. We need to implant in them. Number one, the church needs to be the church. Don't compromise on your principles. Don't compromise on your relationships. Don't compromise. Do not be unequally yoked. And second of all, with God, all things are possible. Oh, we need men of God who can put faith into people. Hallelujah. Faith into the next generation. Faith into those that come after them. Faith, faith, faith. What does he say? God will give you the power to overthrow them. The message of faith is critical. This man of God come up, doesn't even get a name in the Scripture. But it doesn't matter because this is what all men of God need to do. But preach faith. Encourage them. Say, God will enable you. You can do it with God. With God all things are possible. What did Brother Paul? He said it. Brother Peter said it in a different way. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in chapter 10 of Mark, He said exactly that very thing. He said, with God all things are possible. Men of God have been saying it for thousands of years, and we need to continue to say it. With God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. This is what this man of God said. This is the gift that God gave to young Amaziah, was a man of God that would say, with God all things are possible. Probably the greatest Scripture of teaching to the next generation and to old generation and the young and whoever it may be is Proverbs chapter 3. Friend, it's the kind of text that we have in our heart. It's such a wonderful thing. Here, Brother Solomon, he says this, and you know it by heart, trust in the Lord. He's talking to a young man, right? Proverbs chapter 3, it is from an older man to younger men. He is saying, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Oh, this man of God also said a third thing. Because young Amaziah, the young king, 25 years old, has no daddy, has no counselor, and so he really needs the men of God. Friend, how much more it is when a person comes into the house of God. They don't have a natural father. Maybe they have a father, but he's not there. Maybe he's not a Christian or whatever it may be, friend. How much more do we need the man of God to come and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amaziah had one objection. He said this. He said to the man of God, he said, but I've already paid them. I'm hearing you. I hear the sense to what you're saying, man of God. I understand. I see what you're trying to say, but I've already gave them 100 talents of silver. I've taken it out of the royal treasury. I put it on the royal gold card. I've already paid these guys. What does the man of God do? The compromiser says, well, you know, you got me there. You got to be a good steward. I guess you got to take those guys. I guess that cancels out the previous two things that I've said. No, a man of God says this, listen, God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. What this guy says is the Lord can give you much more than that. In a new translation. The Lord can give you much more than that. There's a man of God coming up to a young man saying, listen, don't worry about that. He says, but I've invested so much in this fancy car. I know I can't afford the payments. I know I can't afford this and that. I can barely afford the insurance. I can't give anything to the Lord's house. Get rid of the car. What? Get rid of it. God can do so much more. But I've already spent so much money on this. I've already invested this. Don't worry about it. Do the right thing. And God will take care of you. We need to hear men of God saying that to your next generation, to our sons and daughters. Listen, it ain't worth it. Let it go. God will take care of you. Well, make a long story long and complicated. He listened to the man of God. What happened? He won. Surprise, surprise, he won a tremendous victory over the Edomites. This young king, wow, look what I've done. And then he brings back the idols of Edom, sets them up in Jerusalem, because it was popular with the people. Friends, one of those things that whatever age we are, but especially when we're younger, we've got to remember, popularity contests, we're not in them. And so God sent him another influence. He sent him now the next one, which is a prophet of God. The prophet of God came to him. First of all, you had the man of God. Then you had the prophet of God. The prophet of God, just boiled down, says this. He says, you're in trouble, son. He says, kid, you're not too bright. Now, we don't like to hear those things. In fact, his dad didn't like to hear those things, and he had the prophet of God killed. And now this young man, 25 years old, says, I don't like what you're saying, man of God. You better watch carefully, or I'll have you killed. He doesn't like what the prophet has to say, but here's what the prophet has to say in brief. He says, why have you sought the gods of a people who cannot even deliver themselves? God! Why would you bow down to God? You went in and defeated those people. They were on their face before their foolish gods. And look what happened. They got whipped. Why would you go to the world and take the world's idols and come and bring it in and start worshiping them when you've already proven they don't work? You're not too bright. You know, every now and then we need someone to speak into our life and praise God and give us a little bit of jolt and correction. And sometimes it's the obvious. Friends, this is pretty obvious. But you know what? It's the obvious that makes us, helps us along. Why have you sought the gods of a people that can't even deliver their own people? I need to keep moving here. The next one's a man of experience. These are men in our lives. There's a man of experience right there. Farmer Joe. Man of experience. In 2 Kings chapter 14, you'll find it a little more detailed than in 2 Chronicles 25. But Joash, the king of Israel, he went in, he's defeated Edom, had a huge victory. He had the man of God, he listened to the man of God, he had success. He did not listen to the prophet of God, and now he was doomed for failure. Sometimes God sends you a guy like this into your life. Smoking. Maybe get a beer. Maybe he has a beer in the other hand. You know what? You can still speak truth with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. Yeah. He can speak truth into your life. He can bring correction into your life. And so he wouldn't listen to the he listened to the man of God, but then he turned his back on that wisdom. He wouldn't listen to the prophet of God. And so he comes face to face, so to speak, with the king of the north, the king of Israel. This old guy, he's not spiritual, all right? He's got some baggage, which we won't get into this morning. He's a rough and cussing old fella, but you know what? He survived in his business, okay? He knows how to keep a kingdom together. He knows how to keep a household together. He knows the ropes of being a king. Here's a young 25-year-old, maybe 26 by this time, 27 by this time, and all of a sudden he comes to this old, wise old character. And you know what? I even find it interesting that his name is the same name as his father that died. Joash, king of the north. His father was also Joash, king of Judah. And here he's facing to face to face with the old king of the north, King Joash of Israel. And to me, that I just comes together and say, you know what? It's a father figure. Sometimes there are those that speak truth. And if I had time this morning, I could tell you some of the old lads in the Highlands of Lanark were not righteous men. But I tell you what, they knew a few things about living, about working, about hunting, about making things, about building things. They knew a few things about the weather. They knew a few things about life. They knew a few things about marriage. They knew a few things about politics. They knew a few things about a whole bunch of different things. And sometimes they had it right, even though they weren't all that right with God. Sometimes you just have to listen to Balaam's ass. You know what I mean? Some of you don't know the scriptures that well, but I won't get into that. But if you know what I mean, sometimes God raises up a voice that comes where you don't expect it. But truth is truth. Most of the practical things in life that I have learned were not learned in Bible college, were not learned in seminary, or not even learned in a church pew. I learned a lot of practical wisdom from a few rather wild characters. People that God put in your pathway. I remember this scene in the movie. My wife doesn't like when I quote movie scenes. But it's so much like this story that I can't help it, honey. Robert Duvall. He's in this scene and he is the old coot. It's in a movie called Secondhand Lions. He walks into a bar and anyways he has a seat and he's eating ribs, having a beer, I think. And all of a sudden these young punks come up and here's the head of the young punk. And this young punk comes up to Robert Duvall, and these guys have beaten up other guys. They've done things. They've had success here and there. And all of a sudden, he comes in, and here's old Robert Duvall, the old coot. And he says, "You're in my seat. I want to sit where you are." That's Amaziah. He looked around and says, "Look, I've defeated the Ammonites. Hey, look, there's the old coot up there. I'd like to have his throne." He says, and you can just see the hand at this part of the movie. The old guy turns and says, "Listen, son, you better back off." And then this guy says, "And who are you?" And here's the quote from the movie. This old guy, he says this. He says, "I'm Hub McCann. I fought in 2 world wars and countless smaller ones in 3 different continents. I led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses and swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and the tribes of natives that no white man has seen before. I've won and lost dozens of fortunes. I've killed many a man. I loved only one woman with a passion that a flea like you would never be able to begin to understand. That's who I am. Now you go home, boy." Young lad, if you know the movie, you see the rest of the scenes, he decides to haul off and hit old Hub McCann. Old Hub McCann takes a hold of his arm, twists it behind his back, punches him, knocks him into the wall. His other 3 guys come that are with him, and old McCann gets out, grabs a stick or something, starts beating on them, pounds the living bejeebers out of all 4 of the lads, throws them. The next scene is he's throwing them into the back seat of a car. And then he has a talk with them now that they're ready. And the young boy that's in the movie, he says to his other uncle, who's played by Michael Caine, he says, "What is he saying?" He says he's giving them the man talk. "What's that, uncle?" He says, "What every lad needs to know about being a man." God wants to use men as men in their roles as men to share their experience with us. There is a respect for position that transcends even faith. What does the king of Israel say to Amariah? Amaziah, Bob. He says this. He says this. The kind of the speech that old Hub says to this young 25-year-old. He says this. He says, "A thorn bush in Lebanon sent to a cedar in Lebanon saying, 'Give your daughter to my son for a wife.' But a wild animal of Lebanon passed by and trampled down the thorn bush." What does that mean? Basically, he says, "You've defeated Edom. Now your britches are too big for you." Or you're too big for your britches, I should say. Your pants would fall down if your britches were too big. He says, your heart's full of boastfulness. Now I'm telling you, go home. Why should you go looking for trouble so that you could fall and your nation be brought down with you? He said the exact same thing. Son, I'm giving you a chance. Go home. What does Amariah do? Amaziah. He says, you old man, you don't know nothing. And he comes in and he starts to fight. He gets whipped. Later on, he followed in his father's footsteps and was assassinated just like his old man was. Friends, I need to wind her down today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Follow in my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul, man of God, says this. Men of God, and I say women of God too, as Carol or somebody comes to the piano. Are we ready to be examples? And I would say to you, friends, what kind of examples do you have? You have some options in your life. You do have options. Who is it going to be that you're going to follow? Are you going to follow godliness, righteousness? Are you going to allow the men of God in your life to speak into your life? Are you going to be able to do that? Or are you going to go the other way and just say, whatever peer pressure I'm under, I'm going to go whatever way that's popular. I'm going to go away with whatever way I feel like. You know, friends, the church needs some John Waynes. Can you like John Wayne as their pastor? Well, I'm not going to try it. It's up to a John Wayne invitation today. But you know what? Where are the men? We have castrated Christianity. Where's the men of God who will stand up and say, this is the way it is? Follow this way. It's become a bake sale Christianity. It's become a pantyways Christianity. No wonder men are not attracted to come to church. Why would they want to come to church? Why would they want to? And be sissified? Men of God. Be men. God made you that way. Stupid. Embrace it. Let God give you a godly example. Pastor Dan, come and help me. New daddy to be. Closing prayer.
Father God, I just thank you so much for Pastor's message, Lord, for the truth that we as men need to step up and lead by example, not just speak words, but actually live those words. And I know from my own life, from my own father, I remember when I was younger, he was giving me advice on how to approach women, particularly now my wife. And the irony of it was that I already knew everything that he had said to me because I'd seen it from his life. I'd seen the example. So, Father, I pray that you would help us as men to lead by example, to step up and be the men that God has called us to be, to love our wives like you love your church, like you love your church. And to take care of our families, to love our children and not provoke them to anger or wrath, but to be gentle and gracious. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for the fathers here today, for the grandfathers here today. Lord, we need men of example in the church for those who haven't had men in their lives, who haven't had good fathers. I pray that there would be mentors and role models for those who need role models, who haven't had those role models. And God, I thank you also, Lord, for just the women in this church. I pray that God, you would help all of us to lead by example, to be women of integrity and strength to be men of integrity and strength. Lord, help us all to rise up and step into the calling that you have for us. So God, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. I pray that your truth would just resonate in our hearts throughout this week and inspire us to step up and be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. So Father, we thank you, we celebrate you, and as we go this morning, I pray that we'd bless your name and that we would just glorify you, Heavenly Father. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
He knows.
Let's stand to sing.
My name.
The Lord's blessing be upon you, and God grant you that grace that you need today to live for Him without compromise. Amen. Bless you. If you need prayer today for anything, Daniel's going to go up to the back, and I'm going to stay up here just to pray for anyone that just senses a need for prayer today. God bless you, and sing again.
And I have a Father, and He calls me His own.
He calls me His own.
And He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
Oh,
He knows my
have anything to do with Him. He will
not
be Velcro.
It will be Lord Testament.
Pray, Father God, anything that's already come on Him, whether you just brush
before
that forward
or not.
May not be a listening condition. May not be a seeing condition.
My life
may not be a speaking condition. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord God, Father God, you can put circumstances
my every thought,
blessing, even for their own
pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the seven sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in?